The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
You're listening to Fresh FM. I'm Chrissy Small, presenting Stranded in Paradise from the book by John Dix. In this show, you'll be hearing stories and songs from the history of New Zealand rock and roll from 1955 through to 1988.
Kia ora, this is John Dix, I'm the author of Stranded in Paradise, and you're listening to Fresh FM.
In our last episode, the development of the Chills, Sneaky Feelings, Stones and Verlaines was the yardstick by which outsiders would follow the growth of the Dunedin sound. And that was If This World Was Made For Me off the Chills album Springboard, the early unrecorded songs. The development of four groups, the Chills, Sneaky Feelings, Stones and the Verlaines, had a benefit denied to the enemy and early clean before them, the arrival of a regular alternative venue, the Empire Tavern, thanks to an understanding manager and the efforts of local promoter Malcolm Overton. Kicked off by the Clean, the Empire began in July 1981. It didn't, however, help the city's teenage fans. In August 82, Overton opened a non-licensed club, The Pits. Another person who helped the burgeoning scene was Hank Van Der Vis, whose Broome Valley One Day Festivals became a local institution. Other pubs, including the Captain Cook and the Prince of Wales, opened their doors to the new sounds. There was a second underages venue, the Music Centre. Things were looking up. That was Death and the Maiden by the Verlaines. The Chills started performing around town in late 1980. It wasn't a stable lineup, and when, in June Dodd ventured to Britain, the Chills disbanded. Phillips took a holiday in Auckland with the Clean. Back in Auckland, he and Alan Haig reformed the Chills, recruiting two members of the defunct Board Games, Fraser Batts on keyboards and Terry Moore on bass. Championed by Roy Colbert and the Clean, the Chills' reputation spread fast. Phillips was displaying an exceptional songwriting talent with gems like Kaleidoscope World, 16 Heartthrobs and Rolling Moon. And that was the Chills' Kaleidoscope World. Throughout 1981, the Chills' popularity soared in the South Island, and during a late-year visit to Christchurch, Roger Shepherd extended an invitation to contribute a side's worth of songs to the proposed Dunedin double. The Chills made their recording debut in Paul Keane's front room in March 82. Three tracks were put down: Kaleidoscope World, which we've just heard, Satin Doll, and Frantic Drift.
Satin doll,
And now let's hear Frantic Drift.
My mind like a loving touch. I'm not asking too much. I just don't want the worry of telling myself. Tell me a story.
Tell me a story.
Let me drift. Tell me a story.
Tell me a story.
Frantic drift. Let me rest in peace or in pieces, let me die. Just tell me I can survive. If you wanna keep me alive, try to tell me about Jesus and your gods, but I've heard it all before. So I try, but I can't say anything new that makes me sick, but I'm still doing better than you. Tell me a light in the future after the war, and tell me things will be better than before, and tell me tales of light and time and space, and tell me there'll be problems I can't face. I don't care if you're lying.
While also acclaiming the other three bands on the Dunedin Double, reviewers were also unanimous in their praise of this remarkable group. Alas, prior to the record's release, just as they were preparing to assault the North Island, the Chills' period of stability came to an end. First to go was Alan Haig, lured away to the Verlaines. Replacement was Martin Bull. 2 weeks later, in late April, just days away from their proposed departure, Fraser Betts departed, hurriedly replaced by Rachel Phillips. In May 1982, the Chills supported the Clean throughout the North Island, hitting Auckland. The group had a month's work ahead of them, plus further recording sessions with Knox and Hood. later yielding the singles Rolling Moon and Pink Frost. With Rachel Beck and Dunedin, most of the Chills' Auckland gigs were as a trio, but coinciding with the release of the Dunedin double, interest was immediate, and they were packing out the Rumba Bar and Reverb Room. By the time they headed back in June, they were already the in-group. There was, however, a serious problem within the band, Martin Bull's health. Bull was suffering from leukemia, and throughout the rest of the year, with each prolonged relapse, rather than replace him, Phillips and Moore sent the Chills into recess. In October, Phillips placed an ad in Roy Colbert's record store. "You've heard the record, you've seen the video, now join the band. The Chills require a keyboards player." Peter Ellison got the nod, but during rehearsals, Bull became ill once more as his condition deteriorated. A depression descended on the band, reflected in Phillips' song from that period. Rolling Moon was released in November, confirming the already ecstatic acclaim bestowed upon the group, and Phillips in particular. It spent 2 weeks in the charts, peaking at 26. It could have gone higher had the band toured to promote it, but with Bull out of action, the Chills just sat back. Phillips took on a full-time job as a van driver, his main source of income over the next 2 years. An abortive new band with Dave Kilgore was tentatively named Time Flies. They never performed outside the rehearsal room, with Phillips and the clean guitarist clashing frequently. On July 18, 1983, Bull died, aged 22. Bull bequeathed to Phillips his leather jacket. Martin wrote a song about it. Phillips and the others were devastated by Bull's death and decided that things wouldn't be the same without him. No more Chills. Over the next 5 months, Phillips' only public performances were occasional solo spots. In December, a new band emerged featuring Phillips, Ellison, Alan Haig on drums, and bassist Martin Keane. They called themselves A Wrinkle in Time. The name was too silly to last. It was as the Chills that the quartet toured New Zealand in February-March 1984 on Flying Nun's Looney Tour package with Children's Hour, Double Happies, and They Were Expendables. Although the new look Chills was still finding its way, it became obvious that they were the unanimous crowd favourite. Pink Frost was released in June 84 and dedicated to Martin Bull. With its haunting melody and rather sombre lyrics, it provided the Chills with their first genuine hit single. It didn't climb very high at 17, but spent 18 weeks on the charts. From that point on, the Chills took command, the first Flying Nun group to cross the board and make inroads into the mainstream market, able to fill venues anywhere in the country.
Thank you.
November was a big month for the Chills. They supported Split Enz in the South Island, released their third single, Doldrums, and collected two categories at the Music Awards, Most Promising Band and Most Promising Vocalist. Displaying Phillips's growing maturity as a songwriter, Doldrums owed little to previous releases and was the first recorded on 16 tracks at Mascot and the first to feature a current lineup. The Split Enz support was appropriate. Kiwi Rock's long-serving ambassadors were calling it a day, and in the years ahead it was the Chills who would assume the mantle. Immediately following the tour, the four Chills threw in their jobs and shifted to Auckland, Flying Nun's first Dunedin band to make their ambitions clear. Just as the reputation of the Chills lies entirely on Martin Phillips, Graham Downs, leading light of the Verlaines, has received full critical acclaim for his band, and justifiably. Without Downs, there would be no Verlaines, and like Phillips, he possesses a rare talent which outstrips those who surround him. If Martin Phillips' early songs can be compared to, say, The Innocence of Donovan, then Downs was aiming at the lyrical strength of Dylan. Phillips with Light and Shade, Downs head down, was interested in the sound and texture of the words, sometimes genuinely poetic, but often deliberately abstract. 1983's Death in the Maiden was the song which firmly established the Verlaines, its sing-along chorus providing the band with a theme tune of sorts and creating enough interest to send the follow-up, The 10 O'Clock in an Afternoon, EP 1984, into the charts for 2 months.
We'll be right back.
And that was the Verlaines with Doomsday. Like the Chills, the Verlaines was initially plagued by lineup changes, and being a varsity band, they were only able to tour at specific times throughout the year. Downes formed the group in late 1980, sharing guitar and vocal duties with Craig Easton. Completing the lineup was Anita Pillai, keyboards, Philip Higgum, bass, and Greg Kerr on drums. The early Verlaines was best known around the Dunedin circles for an Eastern composition, Positively George Street, and a faithful cover of The Dudes' Be Mine Tonight, whose jangling guitar was particularly influential on the Dunedin sound. By mid-81, Easton and Pillai had departed, and the Verlaines had remained a three-piece ever since. Higham was replaced by Jane Dodd in March 82, just prior to the Dunedin double sessions, and 3 months later, Alan Haig took over the drummer's seat. The Verlaines' three songs on the Dunedin double were dominated by Downes' strained vocals and driving guitar. If there was any shortcoming, it was in a general lack of cohesion. Still, it was an impressive debut. It would be a lengthy wait, however, before the follow-up, Death and the Maiden, an established stage favourite recorded in 1982, but didn't come out until June 83. References to Paul Verlaine and Edvard Munch's painting display Downes' literary intentions. More than anyone from the Flying Nun School, Graham Downes takes particular care as a lyricist.
I was alone, I was adrift, I was confused, and I was lost without commitment to a cause, and I felt unwanted, cast aside while hardly used, and I was scarred with indecision and regret of things that hadn't even happened yet. Entangled in a net of circumstance, relentless without call, there was no hope, no future, and no place to go. I couldn't see a way to find the same way out. There was no light, no road map, and no road. And I was torn to pieces, scattered to the wind, and gathered up and roughly pinned to those who'd never sinned or been forsaken, to a land of endless doubt. And then I knew that no one could be better off than me. Struggle on. You were alone, you were adrift, you were confused, and you were lost without commitment to a cause. You felt unwanted, cast aside, well, hardly you. Scarred with indecision and regret of things that hadn't even happened yet. Entangled in a net of circumstance, relentless without cause. And then you saw
it hit rock bottom, there was nothing left to do but tooth and claw to struggle to the surface of the sea and stay suspended till we beach on some strange shore or fill our lungs with salt and breathe the air no more. For we are driftwood and we cannot drift much more. For we are driftwood and we cannot drift.
And that was Driftwood by the Verlaines, composed by Graham Downs from the album Dunedin Spleen. There were further lineup changes in 1983, with the recurring problem being the drum seat. Haig left at the time of the single's release, returning to the Chills. Carolyn Easter, a recent arrival in Dunedin who had previously played in Wellington bands Beat Rhythm, Fashion and The Spines, was recruited. 4 months later, she returned to Wellington, and in the new year, a suitable drummer was found in Robbie Yates, a student hailing from Gore. The Verlaines played the North Island for the first time in April 1984, and in Auckland entered Progressive Studios with Doug Hood behind the desk. Released in July, 10 o'clock in the afternoon featured 6 tracks, each one a jewel. None of them was a new composition, but for the first time the Verlaines had dished up a vinyl feast, not just a tickler like Death and the Maiden, but 6 songs to enjoy at home. Volume up, full bore, the only way to listen to the Verlaines. One feels with Downs that he desperately wants to be accepted as an artist, the classically trained musician working in the realms of rock. Downs achieved this on 10 o'clock in the afternoon, pairing off musical tension with lyrical emotions, strongly structured compositions with pauses that matter. 1985 saw the release of the Verlaines' debut album Hallelujah All the Way Home. With its finicky time changes and classical augmentation, Doomsday released in August 86 and was more of the same, and the 1987's wonderful Bird Dog album showed Downs moving in a new direction, with guests including trombonist Merv Thomas of Jive Centre Days. The title track features some of Downs' best lyrics: the bloodshot eye sees paradise and you know just where it lies. A song of innocence and experience, moral decay, and finishing with a celebration of imported German beer. Although the group had visited Australia twice, they rarely ventured out of Dunedin, and the Verlaines had not reached as wide an audience as other Flying Nun bands, but Graham Downs remains one of the label's most important talents.
Well, how long sorted inmates, you've got fences around your neck, and you took all the horns of the adoring girls applause for it, and to fall. Gonna make you watch it all again.
ice and snow, and I look out and I feel as well as could be dead. A light, a cigarette, and she walks through the door and she turns once more and says, "It's your way, it's not mine. Don't forget." And the snow falls on the traveler's head. He puts his weary wings to fight. He staggers like a mess to dance. There are no truths in here tonight. I wanna see in the morning light. The bridge is burning, standing on the wrong side. Whoa, whoa.
And that was the Verlaines with It Was Raining from their Hallelujah All the Way Home album. Like the Chills and Verlaines, Sneaky Feeling's sound harkens back to the mid-60s, back to the Californian acid rock of the Byrds, blending electric and acoustic, tight harmonies and rock and roll drive. Sneaky Feelings anticipated the rise of similar-sounding American bands such as REM and Rank and File by a full 2 years. Initially, Sneaky Feelings was often unfairly dismissed as the band that didn't quite work out on the Dunedin double, but from the beginning they required more than bedroom acoustics and the DIY recording approach to capture the jangling guitars and four-part harmonies. Taking their name from an Elvis Costello song, Sneaky Feelings guitarists Matthew Bannister, David Pine and Max Satchel, drummer Martin Durant and bassist Catherine Turry made their first public appearance in December 1980 at Mornington's Deerstalkers Hall, sharing the bill with the Chills, also making their debut. With no single dominant figure, the Sneaky Feelings has avoided the lineup problems that have plagued the Chills and Verlaines. There have been just two changes, Satchel leaving shortly after the group's formation and Tyree replaced by John Kelcher in 83, with all members sharing vocal and songwriting duties. Progress was slow and acceptance by even their own home audience didn't come easy. Along the way, there have been self-imposed breaks, including one of 6 months when Durant vacationed in his native Scotland, and it wasn't until the 1984 Send You LP produced At My Scot by Phil Yule that audiences north of the Cook Strait began giving the band closer attention. And that was the group Sneaky Feelings with their song Waiting for Touchdown. And we'll continue with Sneaky Feelings in the next episode of Stranded in Paradise, which is repeated fortnightly. So do tune in. And if you want to know where you can hear other episodes, then you can go to our website freshfm.co.nz and search Stranded in Paradise. Thanks for listening.
Kia ora, this is John Dix. I'm the author of Stranded in Paradise, and you're listening to Fresh FM.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website freshfm.net for our contact details.